Good morning, day 140 in these revival talks. I remember we're going to go to 1,000, so we have a few more to do. And I think I'm going to be starting an actual study on here of the book of Romans. Love that book. Break it down piece by piece. If you don't think there's any revival in that book, just wait. There's a lot of revival in that book. So, interesting long weekend for my wife and I. I had to see my parents and also got to step into a little bit of Andrew Womack over the weekend, and so that was profound. Brought me way back to one of the essentials of just, you know, knowing the Word, meditating on the Word, hearing the Word. And, you know, like Sid Ross says, that the Word itself is supernatural. And so there's this balance between spirit and truth. And, you know, and if you go too far on the charismatic side, you end up with a lot of spirit, but you end up losing a lot of the truth, which is the Word. And so, at any rate, I'm going to talk more about that later. But I wanted to say, that, you know, this by way of introduction. You know, my wife and I have always been multi-stream people. And, you know, knowing that no stream has it all, you know, there's no way to encompass all of the many facets of Holy Spirit, of the Word, of who God is, and kind of contain that in a stream. You know, like I grew up in the Vineyard, she grew up in YWAM. We got involved in Rodney Howard Brown. We've had a few streams we've dipped in along the way and kind of re-dipped in because of what the stream carried. You know, the revelation they carried, the kind of the things that they have forged in the spirit that are rich and deep. And I think when you sit in one stream a lot, you know, you can get a little lopsided if it's the only thing you ever hear. And so we've always been multi-stream. We didn't grow up in a church, didn't stay in a church. You know, I would say some of the streams would be Rodney Howard Brown, Randy Clark, Healing Foundations. We've hung out with our friend, How to Raise the Dead. I'll think of his name and then he'll be so insulted I forgot his name. I'll come back to him. Hang out with Michael Van Vlieman. We brought him here to Brunswick. You know, Michael Van Vlieman brings the power of just being able to see in the spirit and, you know, opening you up to the angelic realm, opening you up to the unseen real in a way that I've never been opened up before. Tyler Johnson was my friend. Sorry. It's been a long weekend. And, but anyway, Tyler Johnson, How to Raise the Dead. We brought him to Brunswick here years ago. And, the revelation that God is good is so powerful in that, because if you don't believe that God is good, then everything else just falls apart. And that also has been part of Bethel. We've been to Bethel, Supernatural School Ministry, not to their school. We've been out there to Bethel, to a few of their conferences. And I'll tell you, every place also has an impartation in their environment and their atmosphere. When I remember the first time that I went to Bethel, it was after a season of, you know, devastation, like we've talked about, you know, one of those, that season where the enemy tried to take us out for 10 years. And I remember going to Bethel and I came back and I sat with my wife in the airport and I said, I believe that God could do anything. And that was big for me, who had been in a place of having my heart wrapped tight, living from a place of offense for many years. But in there you have revival meets, you have revival meets the nations. You know, you have they have one hand. I remember hearing Eric Johnson say, we keep one hand open in our local church and one hand open to the nations. And it's like, and they bring both of those together. And you have the continuous habitation, you know, the awe and wonder. I remember last time we went, I thought, you know, after being gone for this many years, I wondered if the awe and wonder would still be there. And it was still as real that day as it was the many years before when we had been, that there was this expectation, nothing was taken for granted, that the God of wonder was still in your midst and you were still expecting the miraculous, expecting good things. You know, and Bill Johnson is probably one of the biggest ones that has influenced my thinking, you know, in terms of God is good. And so we've hung out in that stream. We have Remnant here locally that we've hung out with. And they're wild, crazy, intercessory, prophetic, you know, revival, all of that, which is incredible. Trying to think of some other streams we've dipped into. Andrew Womack, The Word. I didn't realize how big his ministry was. I was so overwhelmed when we went. I was like, oh my gosh. He's like, people that have been with that man have been with him for like 30 years. Incredible. But the emphasis on the Word and basically the idea that everything, we have it all. We have everything. You know, I don't need a man to lay hands on me to heal me. I need to be in the Word, and I need to be able to let the Word begin to transform my thinking. And so when you're dealing with, you know, years of religious, you know, it's amazing to me how religious, you know, we become when we're raised, not raised, I wasn't raised in the church, but when you spent many years of your life in the church. We've been taught so much unbelief, and we've walked in so much unbelief, and it just kind of seeps in. It's like it darkens our whole perspective. And so it's like, you know, when you take away, you know, you have to have spirit and truth. And I believe that when those two are married inside of us, you see transformation. You have to have both. In the generation, I see a lot of kids who have neither. They've had the Word preached to them, but they don't have it themselves, and they don't know it themselves, and they haven't really brought it into them for change. And at the same time, I've seen, that's equally true, a generation who hasn't known habitation or encounter. So they think they know the Word, or they know about the Bible, because they've heard about the Bible and heard it preached to them. But it's not something that's personal to them. It's not something that they meditate in, that they spend their time in, you know, and experience transformation that way. And so when you have both, when they have encounter and habitation and they have the Word, like they both, all of those things activate each other. You know, it's like, it's crazy. And so I'm trying to think of some other streams. Okay, so Bethel, Rodney Howard Brown, let's see, Randy Clark. I don't know, there are others. But I think some of the value, one of the things we're seeing right now is a lot of these streams are cross-pollinating. And so they're interacting, because in revival, there is this kind of the convergence of all the ages of the church where everything becomes available. And, you know, it's grace on steroids. And so everything that God has been imparting into the church and trying to lay out, you know, you go through years where it's like healing. Here's where it's prophetic, and you see him installing something that's always been there, but that has gotten pushed to the wayside through either religion or whatever. And but we're in that place where it's all available, and so it's a different era altogether. It's completely different, and we've talked about how God has prepared the landscape of our heart to kind of match the landscape that we're walking into, which is a landscape that is larger than anything we've ever experienced before. And so that's why the transition has been so long. That's why for many of us, the transition itself has been messy. And some of us walked into 2020 and it didn't play the way we did, wanted it to at the beginning, because we heard prophetically what God was doing with, good morning, Robert. Good to see you. We heard and we knew that 2020 was going to be radically different in terms of revival, in terms of what God was doing, you know, things that were going to be coming together, these quantum leaps where God was going to do things in accelerated time and condensed time and redeeming time. So he does something in a day that usually takes, you know, what, a month, a year, whatever. And so part of the way that he restores to us all that the locusts have eaten is in this condensed time of fulfillment, where the prophetic words that we've been sitting on for years are fulfilled. We're seeing the fruit, the manifestation of the fruit of many, many years of sowing. sowing that we've done in the Spirit prophetically and otherwise. And so it's all converging in this era. And it, again, it's an era that the landscape is so different because we have been, hey, Daniel, we've been prepared to walk in unscripted territory. We know that God is good. We're not orphans. We're not in Egypt anymore. And our identities are becoming more and more solid. And we know who we are. And so we know we carry the goods. And we know that we're a walking habitation. We know we're a revival. And I think one of the things that got highlighted with Womack this past weekend was, in a significant way for me, was the power of imagination. You know, being able to see. And I mean, a lot of things got highlighted, and I'll talk about more. But that's the first one. And, you know, the God-given ability to see something. He gave some examples. It's like if I told you right now to count the windows in your house and you're not home, you would envision your house and you would go through and you'd count the windows. If I told you to envision what you were going to cook tonight, if you're the cook like me and we shop on the spur, we don't buy ahead of time, then I start envisioning the grocery store, what aisle things are on, etc. So we do it all the time, but we don't connect it to the word and to our faith. We don't see ourselves prophesying. We don't see ourselves in a room where the fire is falling and it is emanating from us in this huge concentric circle, and people are literally just like being immersed in fire. We don't see ourselves healed. We're not seeing ourselves. And so I want to read this story real quick and talk about imagination briefly, and then but I was thinking about this man this morning, and I had this verse going through my head. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death, new living. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction, English Standard. He sent out his word and healed them and he rescued them from the grave, New International. New King James. He sent out his word, healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. I love that because that's like he delivers them from the hell of self. So my man at the pool of Bethesda in John 5 says, now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool, which Hebrews call Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great crowd of individuals, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. After stirring of the water, whoever stepped in first was healed of whatever disease he had. A certain man was there who had an illness for 38 years. It was certain because that's the one who Jesus went to find. He had been in that place for 38 years. When Yeshua saw him lying there, he knew that he had been in that condition now for a long time, and he said to them, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming up, another steps down before me, and Yeshua says to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Immediately, the man was healed and took up his bed and walked. This was the Sabbath. Of course it was the Sabbath. I've talked about this passage a lot because it's one of my favorite, because I always think about the kinds of things that happen to us over time. You know, when you live in places of unbelief and you live in places where we feel more discouraged, or like that we've been contending from hope deferred, you know, we have hope deferred, we're contending from places of disillusionment. And, you know, we've been through those long transitions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there are a lot of things that come into the heart. And I think one of the biggest things that happened with this man was he could no longer see himself well. He lost the ability through the many years of discouragement, the many years of having everybody else go down there. I believe that his eyes of his heart and soul became darkened and his vision narrowed. Because the biggest thing that changes in us is our perspective. And perspective has to be opened by the word. We have to have the word to literally open our eyes, right? To open the eyes of our heart. And so, and we have to hear it, and we have to hear it all the time. I think one of the things, one of the many things my wife and I have learned is that we have to cultivate the atmosphere around our heart. And so we have to look at what's going into it. And because our hearts are bombarded with all kind of negative stuff all day long, we have to cultivate an atmosphere of declaring and decreeing the word, hearing the word and being in it and having it around us, because I don't realize how much all of the world begins to creep into me. And if I'm going to be in the world and a light to the world, I have to have something in me. I have to be in a place where I am cultivating, I am imagining, I am seeing the unseen real in ways that I've not. And I'm calling down heaven, I'm pulling down heaven and seeing it manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the way that we do that is we have to be in the heavenly places. We already have heaven inside of us. So what we're really talking about is just pausing enough to actually be in this word, to hear it, have it playing in the background, have it playing in my car, have it coming at us all the time. Dave Hogan, I remember, besides praying in tongues the entire day, which I recommend, he constantly has the Bible, probably old school for him. It might be on MP3 or even in his phone by now. We'll see. But he has the word playing continuously for hours and hours on the day. And so it activates, it awakens. And so this man had never heard. He had been unactivated and his imagination was completely shut down. He lost the ability. I also think of another literature character, and that's Gollum. I love what it says. I think we find out. I mean, it's the first movie. But basically, once he found the ring, right? Death, destruction, hell, right there, right? All in that ring. It says his mind became diseased. It literally diseased his mind. It poisoned his mind for 500 years, it says in that story. And that's what happens to us. When we don't have the word being activated inside of us, our mind becomes toxic. It becomes the playground of the enemy. Doubt, unbelief, all kind of garbage comes in. And then the enemy, tries to get us to agree with our own shame, and that makes us feel like we're defective. He locks in on our false identity, and he keeps us in a place where we feel defeated all the time. And we live in places of hopelessness instead of places of perpetual hope and joy. And so that's what happens when I let everything else come in, but I don't put anything else in. I don't put the word in my mind. I don't have it coming into me in every way. So that when I'm prophesying, when I'm singing, whatever I'm doing, it's like this. I become an oracle of the word, and I speak out of my mouth when I'm seeing the unseen real and I'm immersed in the word. Then what I declare and decree is going to manifest because I'm seeing it already, and it's already in agreement with the word. It's in agreement with what's in me. I love the passage in Matthew where he says, whatever you bind or permit on earth will already be permitted in heaven. And whatever is permitted in heaven will already be permitted on earth. It's this heaven and earth synergy. And he's saying that that synergy comes through us. It's a person who's doing that. The synergy of heaven and earth and the manifestation of heaven on earth is coming through us as a people. And so I was always and have been intrigued by the part where he's talking about, the whole concept that that something can already be done in both places. It's already done in some, it can only be done in both places, in a vessel that carries both inside of us. We carry heaven inside of us. So it's impossible to say on one level that I don't have faith. I can't be one with Holy Spirit and not have anything of the Holy Spirit's character, faith, life in me. When we are one, we carry everything. Everything is already inside of us. We're literally activating what's in us and that place of oneness when we declare and decree. When we get healed, it's because the kingdom is already inside of me. And so I do believe that God is doing something in us where in order for us to be this very liberated, you know, manifestation of the kingdom, walking revival, I can't be looking to another to always give me something. I have to know what's already in me. So it becomes a situation where we're not waiting on God anymore. He's waiting on us, and he's waiting on us to walk in heavenly places and to connect with what's already inside of us, the totality of the kingdom. You know, he says in Luke 17, 20, 21, this is the New Phillips translation. Later, he was asked by the Pharisees, I'm going to end with this, when the kingdom of God was coming, and he gave them this reply, the kingdom of God never comes by watching for it. Men cannot say, look here, it is, or there it is, for the kingdom of God is inside of you. When that reality, coupled with the word as a constant source of food inside of us, that's the place where when we declare and decree, we don't see words drop, because I'm already in agreement with heaven. You see what I'm saying? When I'm in agreement with heaven, heaven is already, it's inside of me, and I'm tapped into the word, and I'm tapped into heaven. It's the way that we see the unseen real manifest in front of us as the seen. And we have to be able to take this word and use our God-given imagination and begin to see it. If you're looking for the job, see the job coming to you. If you're looking and declare that, as you're declaring it, see it happen. See yourself in the place that you want to be and how you want the kingdom to manifest through you. It's all ours. It's all ours. See it. Visualize it. Take time. You know, one of the things that Womack said that was really good, and I'll end here. It is better than to go through a massive, you know what the Lord told me when I was there? He said, I want you to throw out your reading program. Because my reading program was my way of getting through the word at rapid fire speed so that I could say, oh, I went through the New Testament in the last 3 months. He said, throw that out, and I want you to digest it. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to take it into you, and I want you to roll it over inside of you until the revelation of what it is saying to you becomes part of you. And then when you pull that out of your arsenal and your declaration and your decree, you're going to see the manifestation of the unseen real. You're going to see it manifest, and you'll have what you see because you will already be tapping heaven and the kingdom inside of you. And my word will be an arsenal, it's a powerful arsenal of truth. He is the word. And so we have to have something inside of us besides doubt, unbelief, and everything the world is giving us every 5 minutes of every day. There's so much that comes in through these eyes and through the eyes of my heart in the course of a day that without the word being the thing that is percolating through my soul and percolating into my imagination and causing me, when I'm on the road, when I have a few minutes where I'm actually visualizing the truth of something I know in the word manifesting in front of me and manifesting in the lives of people around me, I begin to see it, it'll begin to happen. Andrew said this, before he ever raised his own son from the dead, in fact, I thought it was very interesting. He said his son, who died and was in the morgue, right? Son in the morgue, naked, in a bag, in the morgue. Essentially, him and his wife made this agreement with each other. When they heard the words that their son was dead, they made an agreement that they were going to magnify God and the Word. But they were going to magnify God by elevating the Word over the circumstance that wanted them to go into a full-blown hysterical grief. The grief was palpable. It was powerful. It was right there. It was right there in them. They wanted to let it go. And this is the place where they had to agree together that we are going to harness this emotion. We're not going to say anything different than we're going to declare that he is risen from the dead. We're going to declare it. It became a situation like the centurion. Just say the word. Before they got to the morgue, their son had sat up. He was resurrected. And I believe that that word that came out of their mouth and the agreement that they had, that they would not look at the unbelief, they would not let the grief come in and take over, they would not let the chaos that was wanting to come into them, they said no to that. And they agreed that the only thing that they were going to speak and that they were going to magnify, they were not going to magnify grief. They weren't going to magnify anything a doctor said. They weren't going to magnify a report. They were going to magnify God by elevating what was true about his word above what was in the natural that they could see and what they were hearing. And they were already declaring and decreeing what was true when her son, their son, sat up in a morgue. He said that before that, he used to envision and see and imagine raising the dead. Raising the dead was already part of his thing, something that percolated inside of him. It was already part of the heaven inside of him. It was part of the palate. It was part of his frame of reference. It was part of what he already was believing for, because he began to imagine seeing people raised from the dead way before his son was raised through the word spoken before they ever got to the morgue. Something to ponder on. So Lord, and we just release fresh hunger for your word, that you would bring us back to that place, that you would marry truth and spirit inside of us, that you would cause us, you would just, you literally just create a fresh hunger. Just prophesy right now that we're all receiving a fresh hunger for the word. That we're having a fresh hunger for digesting it, mulling it over. And I encourage you to read slower and mull over and ponder and imagine and see this much of what you're reading, instead of like I was doing. I was trying to get mileage done. You know, I'm going to get through this book. I'm going to slow down. And I'm going to take something and I'm going to mull it over. And I'm going to begin to envision what that looks like in the lives of people. And so I encourage you to do that with me. I want to hear your testimonies. Love this. If you want to share it, share it. I like your comments. Love interacting. So blessings.